I am so glad that you are here. I am so glad that we are together, because this is a celebration. And don't worry, they're not offended. These are our students that are going out that have come to witness baptisms. And look, it is so exciting here lately to see what the Lord is doing, how he is moving in the lives of people. I mean, that video that we saw earlier, that celebration of baptism that we saw that happened last week at the lake, that's just a little bit. Look, in the first service this morning, guess what? We had a baptism. Second service, you just saw it. We had a baptism. Third service coming up, guess what? We got a baptism. That's right. We are so thankful to be able to gather and be together to take these steps and to celebrate who we are in Christ and what he is doing among us and through us and in our world. So if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to Revelation. We're starting with the book of Revelation. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture, Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. It is such a picture of hope. Such a picture of God's love and his presence and his mercy. It is such a blessing to be able to see what is to come. And that is a picture that we read in Revelation chapter 21, again, verses 1 through 7. Now, while you're turning there, let me introduce myself to you. My name is Corey. I'm one of the pastors here. And I am so glad that you're here, especially if this is your first time with us. If this is your first time at New Work Fellowship today, this is what I tell everybody when they come for the first time. Just act like you own the place, okay? I mean, you are among friends. We are glad that you are here. And also, let me point everybody to a resource that we have. There's going to be a QR code on the screen behind me. If you're watching in-house today, if you're watching online, it's going to be on your screen as well. Take your mobile device, scan that QR code. That's going to bring up the listening guide. And at the top of that listening guide, there's a link called the Digital Connect Card. We ask everybody to fill that out, especially if it's your first or second time with us. You see, here's what happens. If this is your first or second time filling out that Digital Connect card, we're going to make a donation of $10 in your honor to a local ministry partner here in New Work Fellowship, here at New Work Fellowship, here in Christian County or in Hopkinsville. And just by filling that out, you can make a kingdom difference today. So let me encourage you to do that, all right? Now, Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. Let's read this together. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. Let's just pause right there. What's going on? What are we reading about? What is it that we're seeing right here? You see, this is the Apostle John writing from the Isle of Patmos, where the Lord is giving him a vision of what is to come. This is a picture of your eternity if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you are saved, you are part of the bride of Christ. And what is it that we have to look forward to? Everything being new. Let's continue to read. Verse 3, I heard a shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. How many of us here today, when we hear that, it's good for our hearts to know that God is here, that God is present, that God is with his people? Let me ask you, what'd you walk in with this morning? What'd you carry in here? How's your heart? What is it that has your heart broken today? What is it that's weighing you down? Isn't it good to know when we look into God's word that God is with you, that you are part of his people, and to see what God does in our presence? Look at verse 4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be what? No more. And there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All of these things are gone for when? Forever. God will wipe every tear from your eye. There will be no more of those things that are heartbreaking. There will be no more of those things that weighed us down. There will be no more of those things that divert our vision from the truth of what God has for us onto the brokenness of this world. Let's go to the Lord and let's just pray right now. God, we thank you for the day you've given us and how you are with us right here. And we thank you for the goodness of your word and how it reminds us of that. And God, I just pray for all of us that are watching, listening, and sitting right here today that are showing up brokenhearted. God, we thank you that we're able to gather in your presence so that you can bind up our wounds, so that you can wipe away our tears, so that you can remind us that death has no sting, has no victory, and that Jesus Christ is the answer for our world that is lost and dying. But he's also the answer for our own hurts that we hang on to right now. So God, thank you for reminding us that you are here with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But we're not done. There's more. Verse 5. And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I'm making everything new." And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." And aren't you glad he wrote it down? You know, that's why we're reading it right now, is because he wrote it down. And he also said, what are these three words? It is what? Finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. May the Lord bless the reading of his word because of the picture that this gives us of where we're headed and what our eternity is as believers. And this is so important for us to see because of what we're talking about today. What we're talking about today is the importance of gathering. The importance of gathering as the body of Christ. We're in a new teaching series right now where it's called Start. Okay, and I understand that there's a lot of us that are here, that are a lot of us that are listening. We've been believers for a long time, and we're in a groove, and we're doing things, but I just believe that we live in a day and a time where a lot of stuff that we are normally used to doing as believers when it comes to the rhythm of life that God has for us has been torn down, and it's time for us to be able to stop, look at ourselves, and ask ourselves this question: what's the next step God wants me to take? What's he calling me to start? What's he calling me to start anew? What's he calling me to start doing now to be more like Christ? Now, last week, Michael talked about some of those initial steps. He talked about taking that step of salvation, being obedient to Christ through baptism, stepping into service. Now, did you listen to Michael last week and do what he said to do? I did. I ate almost an entire carton of Oreos, just trying to be obedient to my pastor from last week, okay? But this week, what we're talking about is the importance and really the biblical picture of gathering as the body of Christ. Because here's what I think. Church attendance matters. It does. Church attendance matters. And here's why. Here's a few reasons. Let's just look at a few reasons why church attendance matters. The first thing is this. Faithful church attendance matters, number one, because it is increasingly countercultural. It is increasingly countercultural. You see, we have things going on inside the church. There's a culture that we continue to see be developed, and I'm talking about like church big C, okay? And there's also things that are happening outside of the church. So let's just talk about that for just a second. What is it that we see going on within the church, the culture that we see being developed when it comes to the trend of gathering together? Now, I'm going to say something, and immediately I'm going to date myself, because the older I get, the more I hear myself say these words that sounds like this. When I was growing up, right? You there? You with me? When I was growing up, okay, so what did church attendance look like if you grew up in the church, all right? Now, if you didn't, if you're sitting here today and you're hearing this and you're like, you know, I never really grew up in church. You know what? Praise the Lord that he reached you and that you got to experience the grace of Jesus Christ, and praise God that you are here right now. But for those of us that we grew up in church, what did that look like? I know what it looked like for me. Every week, no matter what, three times a week. And what were those three times? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And it wasn't just 1 hour at a time for us. Sunday school, worship, church training, choir, RAs, whatever that was, and then Sunday night worship. And then to Shoney's for strawberry pie. That was us, all right? And then Wednesday night was small groups, you know, for some of us. Wednesday night was student worship for some of us, three times a week, right? So on a given month with 4 weeks in a month, how many times is that? Let's do some quick math. That's about 12 times a month, right, that we're going to be going to church. You know what the trend is now in church of, listen to me, regular church attendance. Regular church attendance. You know how many times it is a month? 1 to 2. We've gone from 12 to about 2 times a month. All right, now, look, I'm not trying to like do this. I'm just saying, what does God's word say? And what is he calling us to? Because I think we all have room to grow no matter where we are. We all have room to grow to be more like Christ. And church attendance, just showing up here in the first place, it's countercultural. Look, I mean, outside of the church, we live in a day and in a time where the world around us, what we're doing right now on Sunday morning makes absolutely no sense. It just doesn't make sense. Why would people get together? Why would people do this? It's becoming more and more of a strange thing. And it's like these cultural narratives are beginning to take over. Have you ever heard anything like this? You don't need to go to church. You just need God. All you need is God. You don't have to go to church. You know, I can go out and I can go out to the lake, or I can hike out into the woods and I can have an experience with just me and God. Now, allow me just to speak a little, let me teach you a term, okay? If you've heard those things, this is what I want you to think of. It's a biblical term. It's a Hebrew term that we're going to learn. Y'all ready to learn a little Hebrew this morning, okay? We're going to say this in two parts. The first part of it, say this after me, ha. All right, good job. Now, the second part is gwash. Say it, gwash. Okay, now put them together. Ha, gwash. Ha, gwash. Okay, it's really not Hebrew. Please do not say that when you leave this place, okay? Let me teach you this new. Now look, hogwash, all right? I mean, look, why did God give us the blessing of this world? Romans tells us this is so that we can go into nature and see his invisible qualities and be drawn to him. How can you go out and see the beauty of this world and not say there's something bigger going on here? There's not a creator, and there's a purpose for that, and there's a reason for that. But it is to draw us to God, and I promise you, if you are drawn to God through Jesus Christ, you will be drawn to be a part of his body. Don't believe the lie of this world that keeps you from gathering and pulls you into isolation. Because that's the other thing that we see going on in our culture, isn't it? We live in an isolation culture. And while we may believe that it's just me and God out somewhere having this wonderful experience, it kind of looks like this mountaintop experience, right? I mean, we kind of romanticize this mountaintop experience where we are just in this holy moment on holy ground. And I'm not saying you can't have those. But I think the reality of what we see going on in our world when it comes to this call, this cultural trend, probably looks a little more like this. Alone, isolated, and searching for something true, searching for connection, searching for someone to be there with. You see, God knew what he was doing when he built us and wired us to be connected in community. So the first reason church attendance, I think, really matters, faithful church attendance matters, is because it is, it's countercultural. But the second thing is this: the church gathered, what we're doing here right now, I believe to be the highest expression of community. I mean, think about what we just read in Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. This is a picture, this is a vision of what is to come for an eternity. And what we do here this morning when we gather together and we celebrate and we sing and we worship and we look into God's word, it's just a sliver, it's just a glimpse of what is to come. And it is the highest expression of community, I believe, on the face of the earth, because this is one of the things that God created us for. If we're going to spend the rest of eternity gathered as the family of God, then gathering now matters. Another reason that faithful church attendance, I think, matters is because it holds a mirror up. It holds a mirror up to the condition of your heart, right? I mean, when we gather together and when you're present, I think there's two things that happen that are very good: conviction and celebration. Now, I don't know how that word conviction strikes you, okay? Like, whew, I don't want that. I'll take the celebration, please. But conviction can be a very good thing. This is what biblical Christian conviction should look like. Who is Christ? How am I living my life now in Christ, and how can I grow? Oh, I see that now. God showed me something. God taught me something from His Word. God taught me something in community. And not only do I now see that, but I actually see how to get there. And we're convicted to take those steps to grow in Christ. That should happen when we gather together. And there should also be celebration. There should be great celebration when we gather together as the body of Christ. But you know that there's something that should also happen when you're absent. There should be a longing in your heart to be together. In other words, I'm not talking about legalism here, okay? Anybody grow up in a church where they had the long, like, you know, Sunday school attendance ribbons, you know, like 85 years running, I've been in perfect attendance with Sunday school. I'm not talking about that, all right? I'm not even talking about perfection. I'm talking about consistency. And I'm talking about the condition of our heart. Look, as family, as brothers and sisters in Christ, when we're not together, take a look at what's going on in your heart. If your heart is going, whew, I'm glad I don't have to be there, might be a little wake-up call. God might be going, hey. Because when we are apart, there should be a longing for a gathering, right? Moms, dads, anybody drop anybody off at college this last week? We did. And there's an absence. And do you know what's attached to that absence? A longing for a gathering. I can't wait. I can't wait to get back together. That's exactly what we should experience as the body of Christ. How's your heart? Where are you? See, because gathering as the church matters. Faithful church attendance matters because it holds a mirror up to the condition of our heart. But here's the final thing. Faithful church attendance matters because the resurrection matters. How much does the resurrection of Christ matter to you today? Because that's why we're here. We are here to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Do you know why we meet on Sunday mornings? We meet on Sunday mornings because on a Friday, Jesus hung on a cross and He died. On a Saturday, He was placed in a tomb. And on Sunday morning, what happened? God raised Him to life. So when we come here on Sunday mornings, we sit at the foot of an empty cross all together. We stand at the opening of an empty tomb, and we sit at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is alive right now, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, and at the same time present through His Holy Spirit, and we worship, and we learn, and we bring glory to God. That's why we're here, because the resurrection matters. How has the resurrection mattered in your life? If you're a believer, it has saved you from sin, not to just make you a better person, but to take you from being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive. That's why we're here. So how is it, if that's the case, if gathering together faithfully as believers in Christ is countercultural, if it's a way for us to connect so that we can be part of the highest expression of community, if it holds a mirror up to the condition of our heart, and if we gather together because of the power of the resurrection and celebrating that, and let me just ask you, how often do we need to celebrate that? I would say as often as God tells us to in His Word, right? And maybe, let's just try for a little more. At least once a week. How can we grow? How can we grow and increase our faithfulness in gathering? Now look, I know I am literally preaching to the choir here, because where are you right now? You should kind of pat yourself on the back. Man, I'm glad I was here today. Right? You're here, and thank you. Thank you for gathering. Thank you for watching online. I mean, we are gathered together. And what we're doing here, though, today is we are reminding ourselves of what God calls us into so that we can take a next step, because we can all grow. So here's how I think we can do that. Turn with me to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 4, verse 16. We can increase your faithfulness in gathering by, number one, following the example of Christ. Here's a great question to ask ourselves. Did Jesus go to church? I know that's a little tricky, because Jesus is the head of the church and the church is the body of Christ. But let's ask it this way. Did Jesus gather together with the people of God on a regular basis that reflects what we do now? And here's the answer. Yes, he did. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 16. This is talking about Jesus coming to Nazareth as an adult. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went, what are the next two words? As usual, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. Did Jesus regularly gather together with the people of God? Absolutely. This would have been a part of his weekly rhythm, as usual on the Sabbath. When does the Sabbath come around? Every 7 days. Not only that, but you know that there were three times a year, there's six festivals that are outlined for the people of God in the Old Testament, and three of those, everybody was required to go to Jerusalem from all over Israel, go to Jerusalem and show up at the temple. Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of the Tabernacles. Everybody was required to go. How many times do you think Jesus went? Every time. I believe it. You can see over and over again throughout the Gospels, Jesus showing up during those times, during those festivals, and he's teaching at the temple. You see, so we need to ask ourselves that question, did Jesus do this? He absolutely did. He faithfully attended the gathering of God's people. And so if we want to be more like Christ, just follow that example. The second thing is this. How do we increase in our faithfulness? Well, I think the second thing we do is by hiding God's word in our heart. We need to hide scripture in your heart. And here's a great scripture to be able to hide in our heart that pulls us into what God is calling us to. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Now, how is it that we do this? How is it that the writer of Hebrews is about to put hands and feet to how we're supposed to hold on to the hope that we affirm and how we're supposed to think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good work? Verse 25, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. You see, there are a lot of things that go on in our lives, right? I think we probably use the word crazy to describe our lives, or the word chaos to describe our lives, probably more often than anything else, right? How's your week been? Man, it's been crazy. How's your day been? Utter chaos. And that's a reality. But we have to remember, what is it that's pulling us? What is it that's pushing us? Because I think when we take a passage like this and we hide it in our heart, it gives us that biblical picture of the church. That biblical picture of the church gathered that will pull you into gathering when hurt, fear, or fatigue are pushing you out. How many times do we miss out on this because of hurt, fear, or fatigue? Now, let's talk about a reality right now. What I am talking about this morning is if we have access to a gospel-centered local church and we are able to attend, then we should do that. I understand fully that we are in circumstances where a lot of people have to make a lot of different decisions based on what they're dealing with. You know that there's times when it's okay not to gather, right? If you are experiencing grief and loss of someone that you have lost recently, it's hard to come to a place and celebrate. And that's okay. If you're ill and you physically cannot come to a gathering, that's okay. We're not talking about not being wise. We are talking about the biblical picture of what God calls us into. And if the only reason that we are not gathering is just because of comfort, if that's the only reason, then we need to take a step and say, what is it that God is calling me to? Now, there's another practical question that comes up here. What about online? What about online worship? What about online church right now? Okay, so let's talk about that for just a second, because I don't want you hearing me say, yeah, we shouldn't be doing that. You see, I think there's a place and I think there's a purpose. We've had online worship here for years and years and years, and it's great. I think that it's a wonderful thing because I believe the church has reached more people because they have access to what we're doing here this morning through the internet. I believe it is a blessing of God. I really do. But I also believe that that's not the end game. Okay? Online worship, here's what I think. When it comes to doing that for a sustained amount of time, it's better than nothing, right? I mean, it's better than nothing. Here's kind of one of the illustrations that I think about. You know, I grew up in Panama City, Florida. My family is all from Alabama. My grandparents, my dad's parents, lived in Gadsden, Alabama. And we would travel there regularly, especially around holidays. So Thanksgiving, we typically would go to Gadsden, Alabama. Now, back in the day, that would look like me, my two brothers, my mother, and my father piled up in our 1976 Chevy Malibu station wagon with the flip-up seat in the back, loaded down with luggage, going north up into Alabama. And it took us about 16,000 years to get there, it seemed like. Right? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, no DVDs. You know, the only radio we had was to listen to in the car, and everybody had to listen to the same thing. The only games we really came up with were Don't Cross My Line. And it was typically somewhat of a miserable experience. But one of the things that would happen, it would happen most of the time, and this was our story. We'd be going north, and we're trying to get to grandmother and granddaddy's house, right? And what is my dad doing? He's driving, and he is a man on a mission. He is trying to do what? Just trying to get there. I just gotta get there. And so the longer we drove, the hungrier we would get. Three boys in the back seat, all sitting on a big vinyl bench seat, you know? And as we got hungry, my dad would drive a little faster because things would start to, they would begin to spiral a little bit out of control. Because dad's just like, if we could just get there, grandmother can make us a sandwich. Because he didn't want to spend any money. But the more we complained, my mom would finally speak up and she would say something like this, Charles, can we just pull over and get him something to eat? And he really wouldn't say anything. He would just pull in, and we would get excited. He would say, you know, basically we knew the Golden Arches were coming. And as soon as we knew the Golden Arches were coming, we would start our orders immediately from the back seat. I want a Big Mac, I want fries, I want a Coke, I want apple pie, I want all this kind of stuff. And dad would just keep driving, and he would just listen. And we would pull into that drive-thru, and we're like bouncing around in that back seat. Dad, okay, Big Mac, a double cheeseburger. You know, we all three had all these different orders. You know, they're all weird because everybody likes something different. And my dad would do the same thing every time. He would roll the window down like this, not like this. He would do this, and he would say the same thing to the person that came over the speaker. They would say, can I take your order, please? He'd go, five cheeseburgers and five waters. And we're all like, Dad, that's not what we said. I want a double cheeseburger. I want a large fries. Five cheeseburgers and five waters. And my mom would go, Charles, they need some fries. One small fry, please. Same thing every time. Now, let me ask you something. Is that the experience that we want around our family enjoying a meal? No, but it's better than nothing, right? But the thing was, that's what we had to do just to get to where we were going, because where we were going, there was going to be a whole different kind of experience. We were going to sit around a table with our family. There was going to be a spread. We were going to hold hands. We were going to say a blessing together. We were going to enjoy some of the best food we've ever eaten in our lives. And then we're going to sit around and we're just going to enjoy being together and tell stories and fall off to sleep and laugh together. And that's the destination. Look, when it comes to gathering together, what kind of gathering do you want?
it's okay to do things to stay connected. But when we take this kind of experience that we have right here, I mean, just the sense that we have of being together, you fill my entire field of vision right now. And when you're on my phone, this is what happens. I am reducing this experience to just a sliver of my environment. I am prioritizing, sometimes, the worship of God and gathering together as his family beneath the busyness of my life. This is when we need to ask ourselves the question, what does God want for me? This is the growth that we can experience because God wants us to gather as his family. By following the example of Christ, hiding scripture in our heart, and then look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1, by living out the biblical purpose of the church gathered. There's a biblical church of the there's a biblical truth. There's a biblical purpose of the church gathering. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Now, let me ask you a question. When you hear that passage of scripture, what's the picture that comes up in your mind? All of the believers gathering together. You know, for years and years of my life, I would use Acts chapter 1, verse 13, as the context of that. When they arrived, it's talking about the apostles, when they arrived, they went upstairs, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Do you picture Acts chapter 2, verse 1, as the apostles being in the upper room? I believe that for years. I saw that for years. That's how I thought about it for years, but I don't think it's the case. Number one, because of what this is talking about. Verse 13 says, yeah, they went to a house and they were in an upper room. But then there's like this break in the text where it introduces you to all of the apostles. And then verse 15 says, during this time, when about 120 believers were together in one place, Peter stood up and addressed them. During this time, do you know what that's referring to? It's the time period between Passover and Pentecost. Remember what I said earlier? Everyone in Israel was called by God to come where? To Jerusalem, to be present for these two feasts. What had happened at Pentecost? The crucifixion and the resurrection. This is Acts chapter 1 is about the ascension of Christ, 50 days from the time of the crucifixion to Pentecost. And it's a picture of them staying in this place. But they would have done something regularly, which you also see them doing when they're with Christ. They go to the temple. They gather at the temple. There's a place there that on the steps where they would hear teaching and where they would gather together. And this is the thing that you have to see and you have to understand. Verse 1, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Verse 2, suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the what? The house. And that's where you think, oh, there we go. They're in a house. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Do you know what the original language for that word house is? Temple. It means house, but it means temple. And you see this, I mean, this is kind of one of those things, you see it throughout the Gospels. What is it that you see with Jesus just weeks before this when he goes to the temple and he's clearing out the temple? You've made it a den of thieves, but what is it supposed to be? A house of prayer for all nations. See, they're at the temple. They're all gathered together. And what happens? God shows up. This is what we call the birth of the church as we know it today. The Holy Spirit comes and he fills the believers and God does some amazing things. And while it may not look like that every Sunday, don't miss out on the blessing of the work of the Spirit in God's people gathered. You see, this is why God calls us to gather. And this is how we can grow in that, by living out that biblical purpose. What is it that God does in you and wants to do through you because we're gathered here today? One more thing. You can increase your faithfulness in gathering by celebrating the result of the church gathered. You know that church attendance makes a difference? Gathering together as the body of Christ makes a difference. Psalm 92, verse 12.
But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon, for they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They will flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, "The Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him." Do you know what happens when you gather together consistently as a family of God? You're going to grow. I'm not just talking about us growing in attendance as far as like numbers. I'm talking about you growing in the Lord. You're going to grow individually. Your kids are going to grow in the Lord. Your marriage is going to grow in the Lord. Your home will grow in the Lord. When we gather together and we lift up the Lord, we'll grow. You know what? Even to the point where I think it takes a little bit of resistance not to. Right? Remember, we're not talking about perfection. We're talking about consistency. We're talking about commitment. We're talking about the biblical picture of what God is calling us into. And that looks like growth. Individually, locally in the church, and ultimately kingdom growth. Because there's a reason God has us together. And it's to take the gospel to a world that is lost and dying. So when we think about who God has called us to be and how he's called us to be together, let's think through our final thought, which is this. What is your next step toward a faithfulness goal? How much are you gathering? Maybe if it's 1 to 2 times a month, what if you tried 2 to 3? If it's online only, and you can, you have the ability to gather, why not give it a shot? Give it a try. What's God calling you to do? What's a goal that he has for you that looks like what he tells us in his word and that he promises good things to come when we step into it? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for the goodness that you show us through your word. We thank you so much that we get to experience relationship with you through Christ. And God, today we pray that if there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, that today would be a day of salvation where they would call out to him, ask for the forgiveness of their sins, and commit to follow him as their personal Lord and Savior. God, for those of us that have come in today brokenhearted, we do ask that you bind up our wounds, that your Spirit would comfort us, and at the same time lead us and grow us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.